You may be seated, and if you would turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 30, as we continue our series tonight on the theme, I Choose. My subject tonight, I Choose the Blessing. We've been using Deuteronomy 30:19 as a text. Look at what God said. He said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, and look at this, blessing and cursing. Say that, blessing, 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 blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. You know, we all want to have God's supernatural blessings. We want to have his blessings over our lives, over our finances, over our health, and over our home. It's just natural to want to be blessed. And guess what? It is God's will to bless you. That's why we give that benediction at the end of every service, the benediction of blessing. Look at three people and tell them, you are blessed and highly favored of God. You are blessed and highly favored of God. You are blessed and highly favored of God. Now, God is love, and so God being love is just God's nature to bless you. When you love somebody, you want to bless them. And so my subject tonight is I Choose the Blessing. God has set before us blessing and curses. I choose the blessing. Amen? Amen? Let us pray. Father, thank you for the songs we've sung, how we've enjoyed your presence, for the miracles, Lord, that we've experienced, Lord, for people that are coming to the Lord, people whose lives are being changed, Lord, by the power of the Holy Ghost. And we thank you tonight for giving us an enlightenment of just how good you are and how much you want to bless us, because you are a God of blessing. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. In Numbers chapter 6, God spoke to Moses, and God said, have Aaron, the high priest, and have his son speak the blessing over my people, saying unto them. So notice that you cannot bless someone unless you open your mouth and say something. God said, say unto them. Now look at Numbers 6:24. It's a sixfold blessing. It's easy to remember because it's found in Numbers chapter 6. I call it the sixfold blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. That's two of them. The Lord lift up, make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. That's two more of them. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So there are six blessings in those three verses. And here's what I want you to notice. Look at verse 27. God says, and they shall put my name upon the children of Israel. And look at this. Say, what does it say? And I will bless them. They shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. See, it's God's will to bless you. God said in verse 27 says, I will bless them. See, God instituted the blessing. It was God's idea. It wasn't man's idea. God instituted it. It was his idea. And God says, I want to bless you. Hallelujah. Point number one, what is a blessing? What is the blessing? Well, a blessing is something that you speak. The blessing is what you would say when you lay your hands on your children and you say, what your dream and what your desire for that child is. The blessing is the impartation of God's supernatural power into a human life by God's delegated authority. Let me say that again. The blessing is the impartation of God's supernatural power into a human life by the spoken word of God's delegated authority. Now, Jesus blessed his church by the authority as the head of the church. As the head of this church, I can bless you. Men, as the head of your home, you can pronounce a blessing because you're the priest of that home. And God has a structure. And if you ever understand God's structure, you'll come to understand the blessing a little bit better. See, you cannot think a blessing. You have to speak a blessing. You've heard me say it 100 times. You can't think of praise. You got to speak a praise. Amen. So as the pastor of this church, Westmoreland, I have God's delegated authority to bless you. Pastor Ricky has that authority to bless you. Men, as as the priest of your home, remember this. You have God's delegated authority to bless your family. You're in a position in that home that no one else is in. And God has a structure. And if we could ever get the church living together in the home in God's order, guess what? They'd probably live like that in the church, too. Amen. But you have to know these things because everything has a structure. The kingdom of darkness has a structure. There's seraphims and cherubims and archangels. There are orders and there are structures. And just like in the military, there's a general and there's a private. There's an order and there's a structure. And when you find your place in that position that you belong in, that's when you begin to operate in the unisons with the complete group. But you cannot think a blessing. You've got to speak a blessing. When you bless someone, you speak your desire over that person's life. I want you to be happy. I want you to be blessed. I want you to have provision. I want you to stay healthy. I bless you. I ask the Lord to bless you with good health. I ask the Lord to bless you with peace in your home. I ask the Lord to bless you, and I bless you with faithfulness and happiness in your marriage. See, you speak that, and when you do that, according to the Bible, something supernatural happens. That's a powerful thing that happens through the verbal blessing because it's God's will to bless you. It's God's will for everybody to be saved. But God's not going to send angels to do it. God sent us, and he delegated the authority to do it. It baffles my mind when it says, he who knew no sin was made sin without sin, so we could be made the righteousness of God in him, and then that we have ambassadors for God, as God did beseech you through us. We pray you that you be reconciled to God, that we are here reconciling the world to God through our witness and through preaching the gospel. And God took a sinner, changed him from nature to grace, and then commissioned him, gave him the authority to use the name of Jesus and to go out and bless people. You talk about a loving God. God says, I'm going to take a sinful man. I'm going to take him. I'm not going to just overhaul him. I'm not just going to take this little habit and that habit from him. No, I'm going to give them a new creation, make them a new creation. Put 2 Corinthians 5:17 up. I think so many people miss this right here, and they never live in the victory they should live in because they think, well, if I give this up and I give that up and if I do this, then God will like me. No, God loves you just the way you are. He just doesn't want to leave you the way you are. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, stop, look, listen. All things have become new, and all things are of God. He has reconciled us to himself through the blood of Jesus. What a loving God. He spared not his own son. I wish I could get that into people, that God loves you. That God gave everything just to save you and just to save me. And when you understand that, you'll understand love. And when you understand love, you'll understand God's blessings. And you'll understand it's God's will to bless you. He is not a harsh God. He is a loving God that wants fellowship and communion with you. If the church could just get a hold of that much, praise God, the place would be packed out. They wouldn't be staying at home on certain nights. They'd be in church, getting a blessing and being a blessing. Somebody go and praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Why does God want to bless you? It's simple. It's so that you can have God's favor and be a living witness to the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can be such an influence that others will see something in you that will make them want whatever that is you have that they don't have. And it's Jesus. Amen. Look at Numbers 6:27 again. Look at it. They shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. See, God says, they shall do it. God said, if you will speak a blessing, if you'll start speaking it into the situations you're involved in where you have my delegated authority, then I will bless them. Do you see that? God said, put my name upon them, and I will bless them. And God has given Jesus a name above every name, and that name belongs to the church. And that's why I love that saying, you're blessed and highly favored of God. You're blessed just to be saved, just to have your name recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, just to have the peace of God that passeth all understanding, to know that you're the righteousness of God, that no matter what circumstances, you've got something inside of you. It's called joy. And Peter said it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. God is a great God. See, God does not bless you because of what you do. Everybody's trying to earn something from God. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. Hallelujah. He washed it white as snow. And he made me acceptable in the beloved. And that's what he did for you too. Don't you love him tonight? Go on, praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, God does not bless you because of what you do. God blesses you because of who you are. You are his. You are bought with a price. You're to glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. You are his. You belong to him. You are an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. That means that everything God has, if you need it, you can get it. Hallelujah. Not half of it, all of it. You're a joint heir. You own it all. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. God does not allow you to earn your salvation. God does not allow you to earn your healing. God does not allow you to earn any blessing. Amen. Jesus Christ made your salvation and your blessing and your healing. He made it possible when he died upon that cross, when he rose from the dead, and when he ascended and put his blood on the mercy seat. It's not enough that he died. Oh, a lot of people have died, but they're still in the grave. Jesus didn't stay there. He proved his power, hallelujah, by his resurrection. Then he ascended and sat down at the right hand of his majesty on high. And the Bible says that God loves us and wants us with him so much that even now we're seated together with him in Christ Jesus. Catch that picture. You are in him. He is in you. You are special. You are chosen. You are not just some old sinner saved by grace. You are a new creation in Christ. And God has chosen to bless you because of who you are and you are his. Go on, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus made it all possible. And because of the blood, we're saved. It's because of the stripes that were laid upon his back that you're healed. He's already paid for everything you will ever need at the cross. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Hallelujah. At the cross, where I first saw the light. I first saw it right at the cross, but I tell you, I opened this book, and I get revelation, and you can too, and God will open the eyes of our understanding so we can know the exceeding greatness of his riches and the treasures that belong to the church. I think it's time we get rid of religion and we get a relationship with Jesus Christ that's based upon the word of God, and we begin to walk in what God has prepared for those that love him. Do you love him? Hallelujah. Well, he loves you. Amen. You don't earn your salvation by joining some church. I don't know why so many people try to earn anything. Salvation comes solely by your faith in Jesus Christ. Salvation comes by believing that Jesus died for your sins. He rose from the dead, and salvation comes by confessing Jesus Christ as your Lord. You'll never get anybody saved. I'm probably going to preach this Sunday. I'll give you a little purview. You will never get a sinner saved by saying you're an adulterer. You'll never get a sinner saved by saying you're an alcoholic. You'll never get them saved by saying you're old drug addict. No, you get people saved by getting them to believe in Jesus Christ, that he is Lord, and they believe it in their heart. They already know they're a sinner. Confess it with their mouth, and when they do, they come into a relationship with God where old things pass away, Woo! All those habits fall off and all of a sudden everything becomes new. We preach the works of the flesh to the church so the church can check up and confess their sins to God when they willfully sin and when they are overcome in a sin. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When you come to the cross, by the time you get there, I promise you one thing. You already know you're a sinner, and you already know that you need to repent with some godly sorrow. Amen. But nobody's got to point it out to you. You already know it. I knew it. Hallelujah. I went to church to get saved. I was a preacher's dream sitting out there. Man never gave an altar call. I said, I come to get saved. I'm not leaving this place without Jesus. And I went up, confessed Jesus as my Lord, and got born again. Hallelujah. Something wonderful, something glorious, something marvelous, something supernatural happened to me. And all of a sudden, everything changed. I became that new creation. Is that what happened to you? Well, he's still working on us. Hallelujah. He's still changing us. He's still doing what he does, changing us into the image of Jesus Christ so we can be more like him. Hallelujah. If you believe the word of God and confess the word of God, I promise you one thing, that word will change you. It doesn't matter what it is. That word will change you. See, most Christians, they know the principle of believing in their heart and confessing with their mouth when it comes to salvation. But the principle is also true when it comes to receiving anything from God. So just as we're saved by hearing the word and confessing the word, we are healed by hearing the word and confessing the word of God. I don't want to just believe in salvation. I want to get unto it. I don't want to just believe in healing. I want to get unto it. I don't want to just believe in prosperity. I want to get unto it. I don't want to just believe in having God's peace and joy. I want to get unto it. And how do you get unto it? You believe the word in your heart and confess it with your mouth. You say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. I love that confession. Because when you start confessing that, all of a sudden the Holy Ghost takes that word and he begins to rip out tradition. He begins to rip out religiosity and he begins to form Christ in you through the word of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It all comes by believing and confessing. God blesses you simply because God has chosen to bless you. Period. You can't earn it. Quit trying. Give up and let Jesus take over. Give up and let Jesus take over. I said give up and let Jesus take over. And he will make a way for you. Yes, he will. Why will he make a way? Because he is the way. Hallelujah. We were all under the curse. We were under the curse of sin. We were under the curse of poverty. We were under the curse of sickness and disease. We were under a curse of death. But look at this, Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. Now, why did God do that? Well, look at the next verse, Galatians 3:14. That the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through faith, hallelujah, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Every promise that God ever made is yes and amen. How do you get it? By believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth. Say, yes, I believe that promise, amen. I believe he'll sanctify me because I'm sanctified by his blood, the Bible says that. I'm sanctified by the Holy Ghost, the Bible says that. I'm sanctified by the washing of the water of the word. You're being sanctified right now while I'm preaching to you. He's washing you. I'm an agitator. Some people think I am anyway. I'm like that agitator in that washing machine. I just take the word and I just keep preaching it and preaching it and preaching it and beating against those walls and beating against those walls like a hammer. And all and the Bible says it's the washing of the water of the word. So you're being sanctified. And then all of a sudden you realize, I don't need this thing in my life anymore. So you just put it down. Sanctify yourself. Somebody go home praising. Hallelujah. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He did that so that the blessings of Abraham might come on us through faith. Therefore, I choose the blessing. Amen. God's grace has no limit. God's love has no end. Let me say that again. God's grace has no limit. God's love has no end. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Put Romans 8:32 up there, brother. I want you to see this. This is a picture of God's love. This is a picture of what God did to redeem you, to free you from sin, from sickness, from bondage, from disease, from poverty. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up. Where did he deliver him up? He delivered him up on the cross. It was not what the Roman soldiers did. It was not what the Jews did. The Bible says that it pleased the Father to bruise him. He has made him a sacrifice for our sin. God thrust the sin of the whole world upon the sacrificial lamb. God did it. And God did it because God loves you. God did it because God wants to bless you. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That means you don't earn it. It means it's a gift. You just believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth. And that's how faith works. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Point number two, who has chosen to bless you? God says, I will bless you. Not the Rockefeller Center, not the United States government, not the place where you work, not the stock market. I'm glad it went back up. Hallelujah. It sure went down. But you know, what goes up comes down. What comes down goes back up. Amen. That's just the way the stock market is. It fluctuates. But that's not your source of blessing. The source of your blessing is the one who created the heavens and the earth. Look at James 1:7. It says, every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, and whom is no shadow, no variableness of turning. He is just a constant God. Your situation may change. You may be up and financially doing great, and all of a sudden, boom, you wonder what in the world happened. Well, God didn't change. God didn't move. The situation moved. He's got a seed time, harvest time principle. Is your seed still in the barn, or is it in the ground? Put your seed in the ground. I watch it fluctuate. I'm an accountant by nature. By training. And I watch stuff go up and down. And I just finally realized one thing. Put Philippians 4:19 up there, please. But my God shall supply all I need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Every good gift comes down from the Father. Every good and perfect gift. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. When you begin to learn to base your life on the Word of God and what the Word says, that's when you'll become stable in God. You will find a place of stability where you know what God has said and you believe it and you begin to confess it with your mouth. Well, who has chosen to bless you? He's the El Shaddai. He's the God who's more than enough. He's the King of glory. Who has chosen to bless you? The mighty God, the everlasting Father, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He's Alpha and Omega. He has no predecessor. He has no successor. And what I'm trying to say is he wants to bless you. Hallelujah. He wants to be your Savior. He wants to be your friend. He wants to be your deliverer. He wants to be your provider. He really does love you. Hallelujah. And he is here in his house to release blessings to you. Through the delegated spoken authority of the preached word. Will you receive it? Amen. You can have it. That's how God chose to bless you. Go on, give him a clap offering of praise. Hallelujah. See, that's why it doesn't matter to me. I do want to preach, but I like to hear others preach because I'm going to get the blessing. I'm going to get an impartation. And that's what I'm going to worship my Father, but I'm going to get a blessing. I'm not going to some dead church. I did that recently. God help me. I told my wife, I said, it's terrible to go to church and leave feeling worse than you did when you got there. I mean, I don't want that. It's pitiful to go in there. Nobody shake your hand. Nobody say, hello, how you doing? Walked out in the parking lot. Nobody said anything. Went into the bathroom and washed my hands. Nobody said anything in there. I said, dear Lord. And guess what? When we got outside, my wife said, Jerry, did you realize nobody spoke to us? I said, I sure did. Please, thank you, Westmoreland. It does not happen here, hallelujah. We get them in the parking lot. We get them at the front door and all the whole time that they're here. We want people to know that they are loved and that we're God's love extended. Amen. Hallelujah. So what is the blessing? The blessing is the impartation of God's supernatural power into the human life by the spoken word of God's delegated authority. Secondly, who is chosen to bless you? It is God who is chosen to bless you. Thirdly, God is a generational God. I love that. I love that, that God is a generational God. He said, put my name on them and I will bless them. Let me show you that God is a generational God. When God created Adam and Eve, the first thing he did was to bless them. God blessed them. God spoke a blessing over them. Look at Genesis 1:28. Look at what God said. And God blessed them. You see that? Genesis 1:28. God blessed them. Say that. God blessed them. And God said unto them. See, you can't bless them with, you can't bless somebody unless you speak it. It's the spoken word of God's delegated authority. God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God spoke and God blessed Adam and Eve. I'm speaking tonight and I'm blessing you in Jesus' name. And then in Genesis chapter 12, God told Abraham, he said, I will bless you. And God told Abraham, he said, I will bless those who bless you and I will curse those who curse you. And from that day to this day, that blessing that was pronounced on Abraham, it has literally structured the destiny of the entire world. God blessed one man, and out of his loins came a seed. And out of that seed came our Savior ultimate. Hallelujah. And what a blessing. Woo! It is to know Jesus. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I'm blessed and highly favored of God. Hallelujah. I'm blessed and highly favored of God. I am blessed, blessed, blessed. And highly favored of God. Woo! Hallelujah. God is a generational God. Abraham passed that blessing to Isaac. Isaac passed that blessing to Jacob. Jacob passed that blessing to his 12 sons. God is a generational God. And the blessing is to be passed from one generation to the next generation. That's powerful. A powerful thing happens through the blessing. It's supernatural. Isaac had a son named Jacob, and Jacob ripped off Esau, his brother, and stole the blessing. The Bible says when Isaac was old, he couldn't see. And so Jacob, he goes in, and Isaac spoke a verbal blessing over the wrong child. He thought it was Esau because he disguised himself, and he put some sheep wool on his arm because the Bible says Esau was a hairy man. And the scriptures tell us that Jacob disguised himself. He disguised his voice. And he said, it's me, Daddy. It's your older son. He should have gone with his first inclination. He said, the voice is that of Jacob. But the arms feel like Esau. See, if he'd have listened to his spirit man, he would have got it right. But he started reaching into the natural world, and he got it wrong. And that goes with a lot of people in the church. I'm just telling you, get into the Bible. The Bible says Christ, put 1 Corinthians 1:20, I believe, it might be 1:30, that God has made him to be unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Galatians 1. What did I say? What scripture was I talking about? 1 Corinthians 1:30. Put it up there. 1:30. I can quote it. I got one up on the devil. If I miss where it is, I'll get you in the ballpark, I tell you that. I got one up on him. I can quote it. But of him are you in Christ, who God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Do you want to know more about God? Jesus Christ has been made wisdom unto you. Get lost in this word. Start reading it. Get you some good books. But always read the book. You can learn from other people, but if all you ever get is their revelation, that's all you'll ever know. Get some good books that got a lot of Bible base to them. You can learn from teachers. You can learn from me, but you can go home and memorize that and you'll know a whole lot more. You'll know what it says in 1 Corinthians 1:30, that God has made Jesus to be unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That you're sanctified. Once you see that, all those chains fall off. My chains are gone. Why? Got sanctified through the washing of the water, through some knowledge, through some revelational knowledge. I just saw it in the book. And all of a sudden I said, I won't do that. That's not even who I am. I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. I believed in my heart and I confessed Jesus as Lord of my life. And I'm going to make him Lord. Hallelujah. I might just be starting out, but I'm going to grow in grace and knowledge. And I'm going to learn. Hallelujah. But Jacob understood the power of the blessing. He said, even if I have to cheat and steal to get that blessing, I'm going to get that blessing because if I can get it, it will follow me the rest of my life. And his father reached out and blessed him about that time. Esau walked in and he realized, oh no, I've lost the blessing because daddy spoke it over Jacob. And then the Bible tells us that Jacob later called his 12 sons around his bed and he blessed each of them. So the blessing is passed on by God's delegated authority. And it's supernatural. And then the Bible tells us that God taught Moses and Aaron in Numbers chapter 6 how to release the blessing of God upon Israel. I read it to you. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That's the blessing. Number 6 blessing. 6 blessings. In 1, 3 little verses there. Now, sometimes the blessing that is spoken is conditional. Let's look at a conditional blessing. Look at Malachi 3:10. God says, you've robbed me. He said, how have we robbed you? He said, in tithes and offerings. He said, you're not consumed. He said, just like your fathers. He said, because of my mercy. Just because you're like your fathers, you've gone away from what I said to do. You've not followed my ordinances. He said, you tied my hands, and I can't bless you the way I want to bless you. He says, I want to bless you, but I can't. And then he says, get your checkbook out. Bring all your tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. Prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out of what? A what? What? Woo! Glory to God. God's going to pour me out a blessing if I pay my tithe? My Lord. Hallelujah. God says, prove me. That's the only place in the Bible God says, prove me. He says, you're healed. You're just healed. He says, but if you'll do this, he said, like he told Abraham, he said, when he couldn't swear by anything great, he swore by himself. He says, prove me. He said, I will open the windows of heaven. Then he said, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. I tell you what, when that storm comes, you better be glad that God rebuked the devourer. That thing was ripping up some stuff. A lot of people that Christians, they lost a lot. But guess what? God will make it up to them. We had something happen about 3 years ago. My wife said, why did that happen to us? I said, the Bible says there's no temptation, test, or trial taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful to make a way of escape. You may be able to bear it. I said, I don't know why it happened. I said, I'll tell you this. You watch God bless me. Is that what I said? And when the whole thing was over, guess what? It's supposed to be a losing deal. I pocketed $2,500 out of it. I had to go through it, but I went through it, and God blessed me. Hallelujah. Why did he bless me? Because I believed he would. Because I sowed my seed. If you'll obey God, good things will come your way. If you disobey God, guess what? The storms are coming. Put Matthew 7:24 up there, please. Matthew 7:24. I'm talking about being a doer of the word. I'm not talking about church. And I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about being a doer of the word. Therefore, Jesus said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon the rock. Look at the next verse. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, because it was founded upon the rock. Look at the next verse. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, I will liken him unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. Look at the progression. The very same thing happens. And the wind, rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. God said, if you'll build your house on the bedrock of my word, if you'll become a doer of the word, get rid of your religion, and work on your relationship with me. He said, when the floods, the rain, the storms, when they come, when it's all over, it's coming. Sometimes it comes to everybody, but they're going to fall. It's going to be a terrible fall, but you're going to stand because I'm the rock. Jesus said, I'm the rock. The word is the rock. If you build your life on it, you will be blessed. Amen. Do you want God's blessings on your finances? If you do, then pay your tithes. I read it to you. God spoke it with his word, and he set that blessing in motion. So we're talking about choosing the blessing. I want to be blessed, don't you? I want God's blessings on my life. Now, let's go to the New Testament. Let's see what it has to say about the blessing in the New Testament. Jesus told us that we are to bless our enemies. We are to speak blessings over those that would despitefully use us and curse us, say all manner of evil against us for his name's sake. See, God can't bless them because of their sin. So Jesus said, I want you to bless your enemies. He can't bless them. God can't go against his word. But he said, I'm leaving you down there to bless them. The Bible tells us that we're to bless others. Look at 1 Peter 3:9. Not rendering evil for evil, railings for railings, but contrariwise blessing. See, we're to bless our enemies. Why? Why are we to bless those that curse us? Look at that, 1 Peter 3:9, a powerful verse. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing. Now look at this. Knowing that you are thereunto called that you should inherit a blessing. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. That's just the principle of God. We call it seed time, harvest time here. But I'll show you the principle. Amen. God said, if you speak a blessing, you will inherit a blessing. That's powerful. Amen. See, the very first message that Jesus ever preached was the message on the power of the blessing. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. It's a series of 9 blessings. Blessed are the poor in the spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You get what you sow. Amen. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and say all manner of evil against you for my name's sake. Jesus said, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. I've said it out of this pulpit. I've had so much out of that bucket of people doing me wrong. I said, well, God, I must be a prophet. Hallelujah. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So you can take any situation and you can turn it around if you want to. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And if I can get your thinking straight, I can get your life straight. Why? Because of the power of the Word of God and the power of the blessing that I'm talking about right now. Hallelujah. See, when people speak against you and say things against you because you serve God, the Bible says rejoice. Be exceeding glad. Woo! Glory! That means dance. That means shout. Hallelujah. For great is your reward in heaven. See, if we could get beyond the temporal and see into the eternal. If we could get beyond the moment and see what God has purposed for our lives. If we could call the things that be not as though they were like God does, we could walk in a great victory. And you could have that joy. You could have that peace because of one thing. You know that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And no weapon formed against you shall ever prosper. And when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Hallelujah. God will fight your battles if you will let him. He's a good God. He's a great God. He's a loving God. Unfortunately, you know, when people curse you with their mouth, they're cursing themselves. Most people are their own worst enemies. And many of these are supposed to be Christians. They're babes in Christ. They're saved. They go to heaven. But when you start cursing somebody with your mouth, guess what? That thing's going to come back to you. It's like a boomerang. When you throw it out, it's coming back. I had a lady tell me in the old church. I've told the story before, but she told me to anoint somebody's foot and pour oil on. I didn't do it. She come back and made it her business to tell me that person didn't get healed because you didn't obey God. I said, well, why didn't you pour the oil on there? We let people do that here in our church. I said, we're free. She said, no, God told me to tell you to do it. I said, let me tell you something. I got the Holy Ghost, and I don't get my information second-handed. God didn't tell me to do it. She said, I curse you. I curse you then. I said, you can't curse me. I said, I'm blessed and highly favored of God. I said, Balak called Balaam in there and said, curse God's people. He said, I can't curse what God's already blessed. I said, and you can't curse me either because I'm blessed, 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 and highly favored of God. And that was in the old church. And look what God's done. We're sitting in a brand new church. Everything's paid for. And we're just growing. And God is good. And we're in good health, seeing miracles and all kind of stuff. You can't curse what God has blessed. But I tell you what, if you curse something, it's coming back on you. I could have been real mean and said, I command that to come back on you 10 times, but I didn't. I could have. But I just blessed them. Hallelujah. Well, people say, I don't believe that, Pastor. I don't believe that that people, when they say things against you, is coming back. God says, you're going to sow. You're going to reap what you sow. So if you sow discord, if you sow hate, if you sow strife, God hates that. He don't hate you, but he hates that kind of stuff. Look at this right here, Galatians 6 and 7. God says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. See, when you curse people with your mouth, you better repent because that thing's going to come right back at you. You just can't do that. Because God is love. So we're talking about the power of the blessing and the power of your spoken words, too. Your words have power. When Jesus, a rabbi, was teaching, he took time out to bless the children. Look at Mark 10:16. The Bible says, he, Jesus, took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. What did Jesus say when he blessed them? He said, what the Father and what the rabbis have been saying for 2,000 years in the Jewish nation. Look at it. I read it to you earlier. Number 6:24, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And then he added to that and said whatever he wanted to happen in that child's life through the power of the supernatural blessing. You know that the last picture that we have of Jesus as he ascends back up into heaven after he had been resurrected, and he's at the Mount of Olivet, and two angels stood there and said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come again in like manner." The last thing he does, he looks back at his disciples and he blesses them. Look at Luke 24:50. He led them out as far as Bethany, lifted up his hands, and blessed them. Wow. Think about that. It's God's will, point number four, to bless you. If the first thing God did in Genesis was to bless, why don't we? If the first thing Jesus did in his ministry was to preach the power of the blessing, why don't we? If Jesus blessed the children, why don't we bless the children? See, my children, when they were small, I would go into their room at night, and I would lay my hands upon them, and I would bless them. I would speak words over their life, and I would declare and decree things that I wanted to happen. So you have the authority as a child of God to lay your hands upon your children and bless them. Now, my children are all grown and gone now, but they're still my seed, and I verbally bless them, and I pray for them, and I speak blessings into their life. I told every one of them, I said, it doesn't matter as long as I'm on this planet. I don't care how old you are. I want to know where you are. I want to know what you're doing, and I want to know when you go somewhere, because I'm going to be praying for you, and I need to know how to pray, and I'm going to be blessing you. I bless them. I speak things over life. I bless them with salvation. I bless them with health. I bless them with prosperity. I bless them with a good marriage. I bless them with a good mate. I bless them that God's plan and God's purpose will be carried out in their life. And I cancel the devil's assignment. I do that because I have the authority to do that. You have that authority in your home. Well, I don't have a husband that's a Christian. Then take your place as the head of that home under God's delegated authority, women, till that man gets saved, and then let him take his place. Hallelujah. See, the blessings of God, they cover every area of your life, both naturally and supernaturally. I'm blessed with supernatural abundance simply because I belong to God. One man told me, said, I told him how God had blessed me. He said, God's never blessed me like that. He was a preacher. God not been that good to me. I said, that's why. Listen to what you're saying. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that God will bless you, and he will. See, abundance and success, it begins inwardly. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Look at 3 John 1:2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospered. See, God wants us to develop spiritually and inwardly. And when we do that, he blesses every area of our life. You've got to know what the Word of God says. And once you get the Word and you begin to speak it, it begins to happen in your life. Did you know that you can have lots of money and be rich by the world standard and still be poor? See, some people don't know the difference in making a great living and having a great life. They don't know the difference. That is a difference between making a great living and having a great life. There are thousands of people who in America, they make millions of dollars. And they live in beautiful homes. They drive exotic luxury automobiles. They take big vacations. But they live in hell. You see, there's more to life than just making money. There's more to life than things. They are the blessings of God that make you rich. Look at Proverbs 10:22. I love this. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he added no sorrow with it. That's pretty good right there. that God makes you rich in so many ways. See, I'm blessed with the blessings of God because I choose the blessing. I am blessed in my relationships. I am blessed with my family and my friends that I love, and they love me. I am blessed with people in this church that I love, and they love me. Thank you so much for Pastor Appreciation Day. Thank you for the love that you showed to me. to my wife and my family. So I know I'm blessed. I know I'm loved. I'm like King David. I just love to go to the house of the Lord. And every time I walk through those doors and I see you, it blesses me. Every time I see somebody that's just gotten saved coming through those doors, it blesses me. Every time I see someone that was struggling in life and they get a hold of the Word of God and they begin to grow and get revelation and their lives are changed radically, it blesses me. Hallelujah. I am rich, rich, rich beyond measure because the love of God and the love of Jesus and the love of the body of Christ. You are rich, rich, rich beyond measure. Because you are loved and you are blessed by God Almighty. I end with this. Not only does God want to bless us here on this earth, God wants to bless us, point number five, throughout eternity. God's blessings are for all eternity. Look at Matthew 25:31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, with all his holy angels with him, and shall sit upon his throne of glory. Look at verse 33. He shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. I won't be a goat. I won't be a sheep on the right hand. Look at verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, look at this. Come ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Come, you blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus said, come unto me if you're heavy laden. And I will give you rest. That seems to be one of his favorite words. And at the end of the journey, he's going to say, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared with you in mind from the foundation of the world. You are blessed because God has chosen to bless you. You are rich, rich, rich beyond all measure because God has chosen to bless you. Let us stand.
I am blessed. I am blessed.
I am blessed. Glory.